It's supposed to put you in a better position before God. Well, once you receive Jesus, you're a child of God. You can't improve on that. You're a child of God. So this is what was creeping in. And so the first question, what man-made religious regulation has some submitted themselves to? Okay, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And they're submitting themselves to those kind of things. How is do not touch, do not taste, do not handle described by Paul in verse 23? Has the appearance of what? Wisdom. Has the appearance of wisdom. Man, that sounds great, you know. Don't watch TV at all for 30 days. I really encourage you guys to do that. Okay, here's the thing. The Lord might speak to you about that. Just say, hey, you know, just don't watch TV for a week. And during that time, just seek me. Okay, great. You know, but for me to come to you and say, the Lord's really shown me that here at Calvary Chapel, Cast Rock, we need, as leadership of men, not watch TV for 30 days. For what reason? So we can get really close to the Lord. But Dave, here in Colossians, I know I can get really close to the Lord by just reading the Word, abiding in the Word, doing the things that God wants me to do. Yeah, well, God wants you to be without 30 days without TV. So when someone else's convictions all of a sudden becomes your obligation, that there's a problem there. Okay, now, according to God's Word, as we'll get into, I'll get into this later when we get to deeper in the well, okay? Because there's certain things that I look at in the way of leadership that we need to be doing, and here's how I know that the line is crossed. Was someone stumbled because of your liberty? Yes, then you're wrong. You're wrong. If someone has been stumbled because of your liberty, you're wrong. And so we have to, that's the line. And it's going to be different for different people. So it has appearance of wisdom, but it's self-imposed. It's self-imposed and it's false. It's not true humility. And you know what false humility is? Pride. And now you pride yourself because of your great discipline that you have. And yet the discipline was supposed to get you closer to the Lord, and yet it's welled up pride. I think John Corson said it's will worship. And when I read that, I was going, that's really good. And so the different disciplines that you have in your life, that's great that you have those, but do you take pride in them? I get up at 6 a.m. every morning. I read the Word for 30 minutes. And the next 30, I'm just silent before the Lord and He speaks to me. You know what the problem with that is? Everybody knows you do that. Why do you think you need to tell everybody that? Isn't that now pride? I think it is. And so whatever discipline you have, that's awesome. Keep going with it. I'm sure the Lord is speaking through it. But now if you are using that discipline and you've been using it for so long to try and browbeat somebody over the head and saying, look what I do, you should be doing this. Then we've fallen into this, is what we've fallen into. Followers of Christ are told to deny self, Luke 9. But asceticism takes this command to an extreme. The Bible never suggests that a Christian should purposely seek out discomfort or pain. On the contrary, God has richly blessed us with everything for our enjoyment. Read 1 Timothy 6:17, 1 Timothy 4:1 through 5. What does this say in contrast to asceticism?
God gives us all things to enjoy.
God gives us all things to enjoy. All things that don't fall into certain things that God has already spoken of in His Word. Well, if God gives me all things to enjoy, I can go have sex with whoever I want to. Okay, except for the fact that the Bible tells us that we are to be one only with one person, then that's our spouse. And so it doesn't fall into that. This things to enjoy falls into all those things that God's Word doesn't speak about. You know, all those things that God's Word doesn't speak about. Okay, enjoy that. You know, what else?
Nothing given by God is to be rejected, yet it has to be received in a proper setting and manner.
There you go. And it has to be received with thanksgiving. The proper setting, the proper manner, the proper time for that. You know, when people say, nowhere in the Bible does it say that you have to have grace before you eat. You know, you Christians always pray before you eat. And, well, I always go to this. And I said, well, everything's supposed to be enjoyed for food with thanksgiving. So I'm just thanking the Lord for the food that I'm about to receive. And that's it. I'm not, it's not something I have to do. You know, how many of you have actually dove into your bowl of cereal and halfway through you're going, oh man, I didn't say thank you. I have. And when I'm reminded of that, I go, oh Lord, thank you.
Sure,
thank you so much.
Before we say it.
Yeah, right? Yeah. By the way that you see I'm diving into this bowl, you know I'm thankful. You know. It happens, you know. And hopefully it's like, oh gosh, I forgot to do that. I now have to, you know. But just receive it with thanksgiving. Things are to be enjoyed. The false teachers believe that eating or even touching certain foods defiled you. Jesus clearly teaches on the issue, what defiles a person, in Mark 7. According to Jesus, what defiles a person? Not what goes in your mouth, but what comes out. And the stuff that comes out shows what's the problem.
The heart.
The heart is the problem. You know, you might think that you're a godly, godly person, but man, just hit your thumb with a hammer. Ooh. But I didn't say anything evil, I know, but what'd you think? When I was younger, my kids were younger, in the middle of the night, getting up and stepping on a Lego. Didn't say it. Held it in. Man. In your mind. What you know. And so it's just a reminder that our heart, it is the problem. You know, it is the problem. So, and no amount of outside discipline and stuff like that is going to cleanse the heart. It's just never going to be that way. What's that?
You can't transform it from the outside.
You can't transform it from the outside. Can't at all. Okay, read Romans 14. Wow. Never ceases to amaze me. It probably won't be this weekend, but the following weekend we'll be in Romans 14. It's just amazes me how God puts that together usually. But real quick here. What are your views of liberty when we are to deny ourselves liberties in Christ? What is your view of liberty, and when are you supposed to deny your liberty? If it stumbles someone else. Okay. What about food? What food is there possibly that you have liberty to have but could possibly stumble someone else?
Earlier today, we had like pizza. I hadn't even done this stuff yet, but we were having like pizza in class, mm-hmm. And the guy who sits next to me is not getting any. And I just like jokingly said, "What are you doing? You want to die or something?" And he's like, "Actually, I am." And it's like, now I feel all mad. Because it's like, I'm all like...
Did you ask him that after you ate the pizza, or was it before you ate the pizza?
Well, I was like midway through. But it's like, everybody's saying, it's so good.
Oh, it's so good, yeah.
And then it's like, and it had nothing to do, like, you know, it had nothing to do with the faith, but I kind of felt bad because I don't want him to, like, go back on his diet to any extent.
Yeah.
Because I'm, like, enjoying...
Right.
You know,
yes. It was good though. Wasn't
it? Yeah. The key there is don't offer him any.
I'm sitting right next to him.
I don't think that is it.
Don't offer him any. You're stumbling.
I think that You know, if he doesn't tell you that, there's no way you would have known that. Okay. So you can only be responsible for what you know. You can't be responsible for what you don't know. Okay. So in a situation like that, when it comes to food, you're inviting people over your house. Especially today, there are a lot of people that have the courtesy to say, do you have any dietary constraints? We're inviting you over. We're having a few other couples over. Just want to know, is there anything? Are you allergic to anything? You know, because you would hate to you know, make salmon, and you love salmon, and most people, you know, that's a treat to be able to give them salmon, only to find out that a person is allergic to fish. You don't know that, you know. You're not really going to stumble them because they're not going to eat it because they're, you know, they're going to, you know, they'll die. So, but a lot of people do ask those kind of questions. Sometimes, like, if you're going to have a, like if we're going to have a potluck and stuff like that, like we are going to do for Lloyd's memorial, we're also going to have a fruit plate, we're going to have deli meats, we're going to have other things. So if someone can't have gluten or if they can't have this, they could eat the vegetables, they could eat the fruit, they could have things like that. So we're always trying to think those kind of things. I mean, and this is what comes to mind when it comes to communion. We have gluten-free bread. And I got to tell you, when I came here and knowing that they offered gluten-free bread, the very first thing that came to my mind, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. You know, it's communion, just suck it up and take a cracker, would you? You know what I mean? But then that's not really taken in consideration those who really have issues with that. It's something that's become more and more of an issue, you know, things to that effect.
A real wine.
So, yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
Real what?
All of a sudden, real wine instead of grape juice. Boy, that...
All of a sudden, that, Dan and I start shooting the...
Yeah, I'm so thankful for the blood of Christ.
We're really
yeah.
thankful.
We're taking communion every
not
2 minutes.
Yeah. Not that we have a bunch in light of...
Yes.
Something new.
Yes, and...
He gets his own tray.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did one time, I accidentally at GFC.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know his wife. And I felt veins running through my entire body.
It awakened.
It was like
yeah.
40 plus years.
And it can awaken something. And that's not what we want for. Yeah, Bob.
How are you defining stumbling?
I think intentional is what I would say. I mean, you can't help, like, in your situation. You didn't know the person was on a diet. What's that?
But I kept eating.
Well, that's, again, I would say stumble in this way, all right? If it stumbles them to the point where they sin, okay? If they, and thank you for that. If they stumble to the point of where they now judge you, maybe you caused that, and that's a sin, you know? But if he didn't have any pizza, he probably wasn't stumbled by it, you know? If he knew that the class was going to have something to eat, I don't know if it was sprung on him or whatever, you know, but these are things too that you also have to plan for. Hopefully he had a granola bar in his pocket or something, I don't know. But I also look at it as this. Let's say I do have a particular diet and stuff like that. Well, my wife and I have figured out a long time ago, it's kind of like when we're at home, we're going to be as strict as we possibly can. And then when we're out, because it's a choice thing, it's not a necessity per se. When we're out, we will participate and you know, not bring any attention to the situation. You know, that's how kind of how we roll. But we also know that there are people that we adore and love that are absolutely vegetarians. And so if we invite them over, it's going to be... all right, let's not even have meat as part of the entree. Let's just do something vegan just for fun, just for them. Yeah.
I see a distinction in whether you're causing somebody in their own conscience to sin versus mm-hmm. somebody who simply disapproves of what you're doing. Now,
right.
you're going to go and do something that causes them to sin.
Right.
So somebody who's young in the faith, mm-hmm. that and, you know, say, I've been in the faith a long time, and for me... have a diet, no problem. I have a glass of wine and dinner.
Right.
But I may have somebody over to my house who's young in the faith.
Yeah.
And it would cause a problem for them.
Yes.
Or even not necessarily young, but have a background.
Right. You know? Or my wife's mom's side of the family.
Yeah.
They don't, they're teetotalers.
Yeah.
Well, and we have those conversations too.
We do.
It's cool because I have, you know, friends and family that drink still. And again, like, it really does resemble me. But, like, people will check and be like, hey, you know, I wasn't really thinking about it. Or if we're out to eat, you know. And so even in that, having that conversation,
yeah,
you know. And so it's not a stumbling.
If you mix it in with my grape juice, I'm going to have a problem. Right.
Okay, so.
There's another side to this, though, too. In that the scripture says that when we go out, when we go to somebody's house, we're to eat whatever's put in front of us without question.
Mm-hmm.
And that's talking about meat sacrifice idols.
Idols, yep. Yep.
But we're to be that person that doesn't cause a problem for someone, for a host or a hostess. Where we make a big issue out of it.
Yeah, the caveat there is don't ask where the meat came from.
Yeah.
If you go to somebody's house, don't. If the minute you ask, you might put yourself in.
Or the minute they tell you, sometimes they're testing you and they'll tell you.
Yeah. And at that point, you aren't to eat it.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, just so you know, we slaughtered our neighbor's cow, but it was they didn't know about it. But in this fun, here's a nice steak. You're not to eat that. You know? But it falls under that same thinking because nobody's offering meat offered to idols. But if you know that someone poached this, no, I'm not going to eat this. If you didn't know we poached it, then you're fine. You know, sin is not on you. Okay?
I love in that Romans 14 text because Paul really puts it on both of us, right? He puts it
right.
on the weaker, quote unquote, but also on the strong. He's like,
right.
So look, it's on both of you, you know? Like, you shouldn't be stumbled because they're eating meat, and you shouldn't be going, hey, you're an idiot. You should be eating meat with us, you know? Your liberty's in Christ. So, you know, he really is, it's taken both ways. So you bring up a good point because it's kind of like what Dave was just saying. Like, hey, we don't change our diet if we're going over to somebody's house.
Right.
You know, it might be different if there's an allergy or something, but, you know, really, both parties.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I jumped ahead. I didn't really mean to do that. Okay. But this is one of the things we're going to discuss when we get back is what about drinking? Have an occasion glass of wine. When can you have it? When can't you have it? We're going to discuss that when we get back. Okay. But until then, let's go real quick here. To Jeremiah 17:9, what did God tell us about our hearts? It's evil. Desperately wicked. Who's the one that knows our heart? God does. And that's why when we read about our heart in the Word of God, we need to believe it. Because God's the one who knows that. Who can change a defiled heart? God can. Okay, and how does He do that?
Transformed
by the renewing of your mind. When you read Romans 10, 9, and 10, you know, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So when people say, look, just leading someone in the prayer doesn't make them a Christian, I go, you're right. They also have to believe in their heart. They have to be sincere in what they're saying, okay? But don't tell me that just because I led someone in the prayer of Jesus to receive Him in salvation that they're not saved, okay? The onus is always going to be on them. Were you really sincere in doing that? I don't know. I don't know who's sincere and who isn't. I have no idea. I will tell you this. I'm very sincere in my belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm very sincere in knowing that He did it for me. I am sincere. I do believe. Okay? I know where I stand. I can't make that determination for anyone else. But I can certainly show them the area that God's Word says, confess and believe. And believe speaks of sincerity. It speaks of sincerity. The twofold charge given in verse 1 and 2 to those who have been raised with Christ.
Seek the things above and focus on the eternal, not the temporal.
Okay. Seek, set. And that word seek and set are the same, actually. And it means to seek or set your affection. I mean, can you force yourself to like something? It is interesting that when it comes to food, what you eat is what you crave. You know, and so I do believe that's the Word of God also, that as you begin to feast on the Word of God, you'll begin to crave it as well. And so that setting your affection is also speaking of to have understanding of what it is you're reading. And sometimes when you just read the Word of God, you have to do a little digging. You go, where else in God's word does it talk about this? Where does it maybe give a little bit more illumination than the, just one verse that says this? And so as you set apart to go and find those things, it brings a greater understanding. And who gets blessed by that? You do. You will. And he's encouraging us to do that. What is the benefit for setting our mind on things above, according to Romans 8:5 and Galatians 5:16?
Life and peace.
Life and peace, okay.
You don't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But instead you'll be walking how?
In the Spirit.
I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible. But it's very difficult to be in sin as you're studying the Word of God. I don't know about you. I just, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I have, my mind has wandered and, you know, I wonder about the, you know, the Charger score. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring that up. Anyway, oh, see, using my liberty to cause you to stumble right there. That's the example I'm trying to show you of not to do. You get it now? You understand? Yeah. But when you're reading the Word of God, when you're seeking, when you're praying, you're not sinning. And you're building up the Spirit, and you're weakening the flesh. And so set your mind on things above. Set your mind on those things and study the Word of God and those kind of, and abide. From verse 3, where is our life at the present? Hidden in Christ. What does that mean? You're hidden in Christ, Joe. What does that mean?
Well, as I read that, I understand it to mean, like, honestly, you are going to die. You are going to experience a physical death. But the life that you have is the Spirit of Christ.
Okay.
And when Jesus comes back, that's when you'll actually be given the life of God, as it were. You'll actually...
Your resurrected body?
Right.
Your glorified body. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, in that period is at Jesus' physical second coming.
Okay. John, that's very good, by the way.
That was excellent. Hidden to me implies that somebody's seeking after me. And I'm hidden. There's no way the enemy can get to me.
Right.
Why use the word hidden? Somebody's seeking after me.
Yeah.
Something's seeking after me. So that's what I have my senses doing.
Okay. What else?
Well, I was just going to say, like, you know, we've shared in his crucifixion. That's the part we don't like to share in quite as much, but we share in the resurrection,
mm-hmm.
right? And so when we're seen through the lens of Jesus, right?
Right.
So that complete. So
right.
I'm hidden with him, hidden in him, completed, finished.
Okay, and taking every single one of those things, so let me ask you something. Are you perfect in Christ Jesus? Do you have any sin at all? Do you do anything ever wrong? Do you have any weaknesses?
That's a lot of questions.
Okay. But they all have the same answer. They all have the same answer.
Eternal destiny depends on your answer.
The answer is yes. So, go ahead. So, hold that thought. Okay. So, because of all these weaknesses... all these things that we still do in the flesh, because the flesh doesn't die, we want it to weaken, but it's still there. And given enough juice, it comes to life again. Okay? And so when we respond in the flesh, those are our weaknesses, those are our insecurities, whatever you want to call them, they're hidden in Christ. They're covered in Christ. When he died for you, he took all that out on the cross. I see this because here's the thing. We don't have a direct definition of what this means. And I absolutely love what you had to say, and I was kind of tracking more on that side of it as well. I look at it as that I'm hidden in Christ, meaning that everything, that all my weaknesses and all my imperfections, stuff like that, are hidden or covered in Christ. That when I appear with Christ, I'm going to be a completely different person altogether, because I'll be in my glorified body, and right now I'm not in my glorified body, and my weak body, my fleshly body, is hidden in Christ. All those things have been covered, taken out, have been hidden, so that they will not be used against me. Now, go ahead and say what you're going to say.
So, what I was going to say is that positionally in Christ, we are perfect and complete in him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you ask me, am I a saint or am I a sinner? I'm both.
Yes, you are. Without even knowing you very well, you are, and I am too.
You're a sinner in your state.
There you go. Yeah, your standing is a saint, but your state is that we are still in the sinful body.
You guys need both of those. You need to balance out your life that I am in Christ perfect, so that when you screw up, you don't go, oh, well, God's through with me.
And I'm not really saved.
And you're going to have all those thoughts, but boy, if you understand positional theology, that you're in Christ, that you say to yourself, wow, but I'm in Christ, I'm hidden in Christ.
What can separate us from the world?
Yeah. So who you truly are in Christ Jesus will happen in his appearing. And that's exciting. It's something to look forward to. So when Christ appears, real quick, when Christ appears, will all believers be excited and ready?
No.
And remember, 1 John, they're talking to believers. Some of them are going to be what?
Ashamed.
How do you keep from being ashamed, though, and not being one of those guys? Confess your sins and abide in him. Absolutely. Okay. So I want to talk specifically about drinking. Okay, not to the point of getting drunk. An occasional drink. You're at a Rockies game. You're with your family. You're with, you know, even someone from church that doesn't get stumbled by a beer or whatever. And you're having a beer. They're having a beer. Okay? All right? Is there a problem? Isn't there a problem?
In front of Jumbotron, maybe.
It's true. That's a possibility. Okay. But, I mean, you have the freedom, do you not?
Yes.
Okay. I think you do. So, if someone came to me and said, Dave was at a Rockies game and he was having a beer and he was with Richard, I'd be going, okay, so what's the problem? Well, I just don't think Christians should drink. Ah, that's the problem. So let's talk about that a little bit, okay? Now, for myself, I go to Rockies game. All I do is have one beer. That's it. I'm going to milk it for the whole 9 innings or whatever. All right? I'm just going to have one beer. What's okay with that? What's the problem with that?
Somebody that's weak,
mm-hmm,
in church,
yep,
sees you.
Uh-huh.
And maybe they have a problem with alcohol, but they're thinking that's okay then. The pastor drinks, I must be okay to drink.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, or
do they know?
They don't know how many you've had.
They don't know how many I've had.
Yeah.
Okay. So I keep doing this. I keep going to Rocky's game. I'm having a beer. And then all of a sudden, I hear of this family and that family isn't coming here anymore. And then I hear this rumor that Dave is drinking a lot. And it's not true at all. And now I have to fight this rumor. I have to do all this kind of stuff. What would be the smart thing to do as a pastor of this church? Seriously. Not to drink. True? It just is, why? Why have to explain it to every single person that might have an issue with it? Now, I'll tell you something that is absolutely the truth. One time I was at a Rockies game, and this guy's walking by with a couple of beers and everything else, and the guy tells him and says, hey, you still owe me $5. And he goes, oh. And he looks at me and goes, could you hold these? And I'm going, boom. And I'm going, oh, snap. Yeah. And all of a sudden, and then takes them and continues on. I'm going, if somebody had seen that, want to take a picture of that, there has to be times where you just have to laugh at it and just go, if it comes up, I'm just going to say, this is what happened. You know, it almost made me want to go, dude, can I have your name and phone number and that you can collaborate this story and things like that? I mean, those things happen, okay? Now, you're in leadership, okay? You oversee a community group and things like that. You're on your anniversary. Someone takes a picture. It's your 40th anniversary and whatever. You put it on social media. But there's a wine and wine glasses and things like that. And now people are going, oh my gosh, I didn't know they drank it. And now you're stumbling them. I would probably go to you and say, do you see the problem here? I didn't even think about it. Okay. Just so you know, learning experience. Okay. Don't do it again. Okay. If you're going to take a picture, I don't care if that you had a glass of wine or a whole bottle of wine with your wife. I mean, that's fine. But if you're going to take a picture celebrating your anniversary or celebrating this or celebrating that, just look at the picture beforehand. Do you see all the beer bottles behind me at you? I mean, do you realize that someone took a picture while you're over at your nephew's house and he just, you know, graduated from high school and you got a picture there, but there's a bong behind you? Do you realize that? Those are things you have to actually think about. You do.
But they're stumbling themselves. You can't be responsible for the world or how they perceive things.
You can, to a degree, as much as depends on you. You live peaceably with all men. So that's why if you didn't see it. Yeah. But as you look at the picture, as you're about to post anything, you should have that in your mind. Is there anything there that is stumbling someone? You know? I mean, it's as simple as, do you see the TV behind you? Do you see what they're watching there? You know? And go, no, I didn't even catch it. I get it. I'm just saying be careful with it because you don't want to have to explain yourself later on. All I'm saying is be smart in what it is you do because it comes down to one thing that is said in Romans 14. What is the one verse that explains it all?
Don't let your good be spoken of as evil.
That's a good one, but that's not the one I'm thinking of.
Do things for the conscience sake of others.
That's in 1 Corinthians.
Oh, we like that too.
I like that. I like that. But there's something that says you're not doing if you stumble someone. What is it?
All things indeed are clean, but they are evil to the man who eats and gives offense. That's in Romans 14.
Nope.
Is it the last verse?
Nope.
You're not acting in love. Therefore,
say
it. Good be spoken of as evil.
Look at verse 15.
You're not acting in love.
Yes. Look at 15. Look what it says. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food or drink or what, think of any liberty. Okay, back then it was, the only liberties you really had was like food and drink and things like that. But you, watching movies, whatever you watch and things like that. I'm the same way as John. Violence doesn't bother me at all. You know, I had this thing with my son that anytime something would come up for mature obvious, there's an intense violence, you know, not suitable for children under 12 or something like that. The first thing that my son would go, cool. And so we always did that whenever something was coming up like that. We'd both look at each other and going, cool. You know, and
you're not going to preach that I watched this show.
No. And that's my point because I don't want to stumble anyone. You know, I forget what show I mentioned that I watched that I thought was hilarious 15 years ago. And this woman came up to me and just was appalled that I watched the show. It was 24. I love 24, you know. So my wife and I talked about it and said, it just would be the smart move. We don't have to say what I like in the way of programs, what I don't from the pulpit. I'll say it as I'm talking to people. Oh, I love 24.
Romans 14 says, keep your liberty to yourself in the Lord.
True.
There's a place you do that.
Absolutely.
Charge your fan.
Absolutely. You know, before this last weekend, I'm pretty sure being a Charger fan didn't stumble anyone. Okay.
In the long term, it doesn't.
Yeah. And in the long term, it won't. Yeah. So.
Hey, Dave, there's an area we haven't touched on.
Okay.
And for us as a staff is like females which are not my wife or my daughter or my mother being alone with them. And anyway, this whole Harvey Weinstein thing,
Yeah. They
could have prevented this really easy by never having a meeting with another woman without accountability.
And yet.
Never, you know, having, mm-hmm. you know, and so those things... You might think that your wife's best friend, you can give her a ride, go to the store, but that's how things start.
That's how things start.
And then you've got to be really careful in those areas. Absolutely have to be careful. Just Joey and I and Dave and Chris and Frank and Larry, we talk about these things all the time. We actually have two men here, and because what if a woman comes in and wants counseling?
Mm-hmm.
And It's like, you're the only one here. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, so that's an area that is almost more on the don't do list, you know, but you might feel you have the liberty to do that. Texting. If I text Mindy, I'm copying Dave.
Yeah. So I see it as well.
Yeah. So you see it as well. And so these are areas that our culture could have prevented an awful lot of this sexual harassment stuff if they would only have proper accountability in all stages of these things.
Mm-hmm.
There's another area, too, that I think about, and that's having all the Christian stickers on your car when you're buzzing down and off on the highway.
Yeah.
That's why I have a Plum Creek
I support the local police.
Yeah, that's why I have another churches on my...
Oh, Plum Creek Church.
Yeah. So, but you're right. And I have. I've been upset, or I need to get somewhere real quick, and I punch it, and I've gone through red light, and that's the first time I think I'm going... Great witness, you know. But at the same time, I'm also thinking, but it should be deeper than that. Still shouldn't have done it because I represent the Lord Jesus Christ regardless of what's on my car, you know. So you just go, you know. And so you're absolutely right. And it should, hopefully it causes us to understand, you know, not only that, I have 89.7 on there. You know, I got those as well. Yeah. Clergy parking, I don't. You've been itching to say something, so I wanted to give you the opportunity. Have you not?
Well, it gets back to you didn't invite someone over to your house for dinner and bring 5 beers in front of them. That's where you would have your real control of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're holding 2 beers that you didn't even drink, and people are making assumptions and judgments on you that are not true.
Right.
So they're the ones that are setting themselves up for a fall.
But they are the ones that are weak. And so I can't expect everybody that comes here to be mature. As a matter of fact, it's a hospital. So I don't want to stumble the weak. And because I don't want to stumble the weak, and I want to see them grow in Christ, I need to have the opportunity to do that. And yet, if my witness is one of that I care more about my liberties than how they feel, I'm no longer walking in the law of love, like it says in verse 15.
It's a complicated topic. You know, you're exactly right on the cars. I mean, I've known Christians that won't put the fish on the car and so forth for that very reason.
But now they have the liberty to just go,
You know, you also remember the people we're looking at, most of them are not Christian, and they have their own Hollywood views of what a Christian is, which are not accurate at all. So,
yeah,
walk on the water for
but it. We might be the only Christian, true Christian, they ever run across. And the last thing you want is, or you have something there to where they won't listen to you. And so you just try and do your best. You can't be 100% perfect in it, but you could probably be 80. And then if you think, but 80, who cares, I'll just be 40, that's where your sin lies. So it's kind of like, I want to do the best I can, but I know by doing that, there's probably still some imperfections, but I don't go to the place where because there's still imperfections, then I might not even try. And that's where I don't want to make sure I don't go to that place. So I talked about this one time years ago, and I said, look, you really don't want me showing up at your potluck at your house drinking a wine cooler, even though everybody else is having wine coolers. You know that I'm your pastor and this, that, and the other thing. You really don't. As much as you want to be mature and say, nah, it wouldn't bother me at all, deep down inside, you'd probably be going, I just really wish Dave didn't drink at all for my own reasons and everything else. When I got done teaching that, I had a family came up to me and said, this is why we left our other church, is because that exact same thing. And yet, when I read the Word of God, I know it's me. I just didn't want to listen to someone teach me the Word of God that drinks, you know, even if it's in moderation. I just didn't. And I know I'm the weaker vessel because of it, but that's why we came here, is because I know I wasn't mature enough to be under that. And I look at it and I go... And see, I would have talked to that minister had I gotten to know him being a minister and just saying, and these are the problems you're going to have. Those weaker vessels are going to stop coming because they're not mature enough to handle you drinking in front of them. You know? So, Joe.
So this may be kind of redundant, but like, if you do something that you end up being judged by another person and unrighteously judged, right? Because you caused them to sin by doing it in the first place, is that the same as, like, is that the same?
That's why you're wrong, yes. That's why I'd be wrong.
Okay.
You know, now, I would say you can only take that so far.
I mean,
because people might not like the fact that I wear blue jeans. Okay, they don't like that I wear jeans. I think a minister should always be in slacks and this and that. I mean, there are.
I wore a suit the other night.
Yeah. I did. People almost had a heart attack, I know. So there is this. Okay, but I would look at it this way. I know in Colorado, for the most part, people really aren't stumbled by that. If I went down south, okay, and I didn't like NASCAR. I didn't like Southern cooking. I didn't like all this stuff. And I go down there and I try and be a surfer boy from San Diego trying to do my stuff down south. And I tell jokes about how stupid NASCAR is and Southern fried cooking just makes you fat and da 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 as I'm teaching. How many people do you think I'd be, God is ministering, using me to reach for the gospel? Just by my demeanor, just by how I go about things and just how I dress. And you have to have you have to have a way that you kind of go, this is what these people are into. This is how the South rolls. This is how things happen here. Get involved with that. Be a part of that. Be one with them as you bring the gospel. You become all things to all men. And by looking at how many people are wearing jeans and kind of dresses kind of like I am and everything, tells you that's the way people dress here in Colorado. And so it works here. But to take this the way, and I'm going to be this way as I go to Saudi Arabia to plant a church, good luck. Within a week, I'll be stoned. You know, they would have killed me a long time because I'm not thinking about the conscience sake of others, like Joey pointed out. And I'm no longer walking in love. And love is, you know, adapting to all sorts of things, to be able to appeal to people so you could bring them Christ. And you do not want to stumble them, and you don't want to put something in front of them that you're going to teach them of why it's okay to accept you for this, of what you do. It's you're no longer walking in love. Yeah.
So where does that lines get drawn for alcohol and blue jeans and all those other factors where somebody could be maybe stumbled is not the right word, maybe that's the key, versus mm-hmm. offended, or I can't believe he doesn't wear a tie when he preaches, or I cannot
right.
believe that he quotes, you know, something when he's talking. Where is that line you draw?
Well, I think you still have to be you, okay, of how God has called you. And people can use it all the time, well, that's just me. Okay, but you're extremely abrasive. And so an extremely abrasive person probably is going to have a small audience for Christ. And a very small group of people in order to minister to. So you have to look at that and be able to say, look, I don't want to try and be like Billy Graham. There's only one Billy Graham. I can't be Mike McIntosh. There's only one Mike McIntosh. I have to be who I am. But being who I am, let God change you into being your own personality of who you are. And that's fine. But you're still supposed to be who you are in love. And that's the defining factor. Why did you think it was okay to shoot out that social media picture with you hanging on your buddy with a couple of beers, knowing that you're a pastor of a fellowship? Why do you think you have the liberty of doing that? Because I have liberty. Romans 14, you do, so long as you don't stumble others. Did you really think that wasn't going to stumble anybody? I don't think it's going to stumble anyone. Okay, then you're just dumb. I can't help you with that. But it's absolutely not true. I mean, you're dumb. For you to say you don't think you're going to stumble anybody, you are wrong. You are. And we're talking stumbling to the point of sin. They might be thinking, I was going to go to that church. I'm not going anymore. See, pastors are all the same. They're just hiding their sin. You know, they're just the same as everybody else. They're involved in everything I'm involved with. Why would I go there? And again, I'm keeping somebody from having that opportunity of being able to come to church here. Is there something that would stumble someone from not having them come?
So the distinction would be like a stumbling is a leading to sin or causing them to sin versus
leading to sin, causing them to sin, causing them not wanting to come to church, not wanting to hear the word of God, not wanting to hear the truth, those kind of things. If it's just because someone's doesn't like I'm trying to think of something.
Like we were talking about last week with the legalism with hats in church or whatever.
Yeah.
Because these things do come up all the time.
So if somebody doesn't like the fact that I don't wear a tie or whatever, it's kind of like that's not going to hinder them from going to another church. That's not going to hinder them from thinking that I'm a godly man or anything. All that is that hinders them of just thinking in their mind, you dress up the very best for God. And so when we go to church, we give them our very best from the way we dress to this, to that, to everything else. And it's kind of like, okay, a lot of issues there on many different on levels. But hopefully you came that first time, you heard the word of God and everything else ministered to you to where maybe we can go and talk about it. But the other stumbling I'm talking about is that they don't even grace the doors. The only way he would know or that person would know I don't wear ties is that they first come in and they sit down and they watch me come out. And then the chance of them standing up and leaving is probably not such a great chance of that happening. But afterwards, possibly never coming back again, maybe saying something to me before they leave to where I could say, hey, I would love to talk to you about this, you know.
Well, that's and, you know, the part in it is, you know, I'm sure these have come up, you know, because it can come up. I've had conversations about tattoos.
Yep.
I've had conversations about too many hymns. I've had conversations about not enough hymns. Mm-hmm. Every weekend it's too loud, and every weekend, that same weekend, it's too quiet.
So
these are all things. Yet my heart is, I will sit down and openly have that dialogue in a loving way, going, hey, here's what my heart is. Here's what, you know, we try to do. And I know the same sort of thing, like, hey, this is where I'm coming from. You're right. I don't wear a tie.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to being like, using that liberty and being like, you're a moron.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's not a direct lead into sin. Like,
right. It's not going, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. To where it leads them to think, oh, anybody can drink now. Leads them to sin that way.